Hare Krishna. We are beginning our series of classes on book distribution and, of course, the Prabhupada Marathon, which begins next Wednesday. So it's a reminder for us this week. The series of classes will be given by the different devotees who will tell us all about the marathon and pick different verses. We are reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, a famous verse here. We are reading from Madhya Lila, chapter 20, text 6. Translation: if one releases a conditioned soul or imprisoned person according to religious principles, he himself is also released from material bondage by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is Sanatana Goswami speaking to the jailkeeper. Purport: it appears from this statement that Sanatana Goswami, who was formerly a minister of Nawab, was trying to cheat the Mohammedan superintendent. A jail superintendent only had an ordinary education, or practically no education, and he was certainly not supposed to be very advanced in spiritual knowledge. However, just to satisfy him, Sanatana Goswami praised him as a very learned scholar of the scriptures. The jailkeeper could not deny that he was a learned scholar, because when one is elevated to an exalted position, one thinks oneself fit for that position. When you meet someone on the street, you know, that's the principle. You know everything, of course, my friend. Okay. They may not know anything. You elevate them to that position. Sanatana Goswami was certainly explaining the effects of spiritual activity, and the jailkeeper connected his statement with his release from jail. There are innumerable conditioned souls rotting in the material world, imprisoned by Maya, under the spell of sense gratification. The living entity is so entranced by the spell of Maya that in conditioned life even a pig feels satisfied. There are two kinds of covering powers exhibited by Maya. One is called Pratyakshep Atmika and the other is Avaranatmika. When one is determined to get out of material bondage, the Pratyakshep Atmika Shakti, the spell of diversion, impels one to remain in conditioned life fully satisfied by sense gratification. Due to the other power, Avaranatmika, a conditioned soul feels satisfied even if he is rotting in the body of a pig or a worm in stool. To release a conditioned soul from material bondage is very difficult because the spell of Maya is so strong. Even when the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself descends to deliver conditioned souls, asking them to surrender unto him, the conditioned souls do not agree to the Lord's proposal. Therefore, Sri Sanatana Goswami said, somehow or other, if one helps another gain release from the bondage of Maya, he is certainly recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What could be a better statement than that for the book distribution we are about to do? As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 1869. Anyone? 1869? Yeah. Na chatasman manishyeshu kaschin me priya kritama bhavite na chamatasmad anya priyataro bhuvihi. The greatest service one can render to the Lord is to try to infuse devotional service into the heart of the conditioned soul, so that the conditioned soul may be released from conditioned life. The Prabhupada uses in the purport the greatest service, not great, could be, is it the greatest? Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that a Vaishnava is recognized by his preaching work. That is, by convincing the conditioned soul about his eternal position, which is explained here as Nija Dharma. It is the living entity's eternal position to serve the Lord. Therefore, to help one get release from material bondage is to awaken one to the dormant understanding that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. Jivera Surupahoy Krishnera Nityadas. This will be further explained by the Lord Himself to Sanatan Goswami. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvasesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Krupa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Bhavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Asking for the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, especially with the Jagadatris here, disciples of Prabhupada, to say something that will inspire devotees in the upcoming book marathon, which begins next Wednesday. And of course, at the helm, we have Nikhil Prabhu, who's overseeing the marathon this year. So he has many plans, and we'll ask him at the end of class what the plans are. And I think the plan is to get 100,000 books out. So that's a good plan. Prabhupada always said, he said, the best of me is in my books. So I thought, what better statement is there? You know, when someone says, the best of me is in my books. So what better way then to glorify Prabhupada by reading his books and distributing his books? I think both are essential. We've hopefully been reading them for 11 months. In the 12th month, we should distribute them. That's the idea. We should read and distribute. Often we're only distributing or we're only reading. So the best of me is in my books. So you read them, so you'll know who he is, and you'll give that to others as well. London, when we were there, I was in an event just before Diwali, just outside the Prime Minister's house. And you know, they have homeless people everywhere. So he was there with a sleeping bag and a cup. And he had a note. And the note was, give me hope. And I thought that was interesting. Meaning, please, give me hope. He was hoping that people would give him some money. That would be his hope, I think. But really, I think he was thinking a little deeper, give me hope. So really, who are the people that are giving hope? Very few. Generally, the hope is feed people, because Christmas is all about soup kitchens all over London. And, you know, people will accuse us that, why don't you do welfare work? This is, why don't you get a job? Why don't you do real work, real welfare work? Of course, we do Food for Life everywhere, all over the world, so no one can accuse us that we're not doing that. But really, it's real welfare work, para upakar, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks about. And the Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu, he speaks of this, doesn't he? He says, well, we'll change what he said to make it vegetarian at least, where he says, you feed a man, you help him for a day. But if you teach him how to grow his food, then you feed him for a lifetime. Of course, he was speaking about fishing, so we've just changed it around a little. So really, that's real welfare work. Real welfare work. And you know, teaching people, not just give me hope, one meal for the day, or a meal for Christmas, or some shelter for Christmas. Real hope, how to come out of the whole problem in itself. Prabhupada, when he was in India, many people would come up and ask him for blessings, as everyone does. I believe he was on a train, and some people had come to ask him for blessings because they saw it was a saintly man. He was sitting there, and Prabhupada stared at the people for 20 seconds. And then he said to them, he said, I have a big headache to spread this movement all over the world. Please take some of this headache from me and you will get my blessings. So, equally, not just in the month of December, but all year, we're trying to relieve Prabhupada of this headache, to give Krishna consciousness to others, because that was his thinking, always, how can we give Krishna consciousness to others? And I believe the marathon is not just a one-off event, it's a whole lifetime's event. I remember my first marathon in 1977, coming up to 40 years, I was thinking about it. My God, 40 years. Haven't missed one yet. So 40 years, and in thinking what the marathon was all about. And previously, at that time, the whole temple would be empty. And, you know, the pujaris would be a few, and it was a ghost town. The manor was like a ghost town. You wouldn't see anything going on. And if you were in the temple by yourself, you'd feel like, what am I doing here? It should be out somewhere. But, you know, I think we've grown a bit more. We've matured a lot more. The marathon isn't just about everyone running out. There's a whole backup service. There's preaching that goes on every day that needs to go on. We have schools that need to go on every day. We have the pujari services that need to go on. And this is all part of the marathon, really, giving Krishna consciousness to others. The people that we'll give a book to on the first day of the marathon, if on the second day they arrived here but there was no one here, to meet them, greet them, or say anything, what would they think? Well, this book is bogus. It's not true what they're saying in here. So we need a whole complete picture, really. And luckily this year we had our theme Atithi Devo Bhava, which is from the Upanishads, the famous verse. Matro Devo, Pitro Devo, Acharya Devo, and then finally he says Atithi Devo Bhava. That these are all personalities that we can get blessings from to get back to God, and the Upanishads are explaining on that way. So we have a nice program now of people that are looked after here between 11 and 4 at least, or any time they can come, but 11 and 4 is specific. We have a whole program of Krishna wisdom on a whole variety of days, how people can get an introduction. We have a program of become a monk for a week. So, anyone here from monk for a week? There you go, there's one person. Monk, what's your name? Andrew. Anyone else here from monk for a week? Okay, no, there you go. We'll hope you're understanding something about monk for a week as well. So we have all of these programs. So if we didn't do all of these programs and just distributed the books, it wouldn't make any sense. It wouldn't make any sense at all. So you have to have the full picture for people. So how did the book distribution all begin? So Prabhupada himself started it. He was in Delhi. He was distributing his Back to Godhead magazines in the tea stall, the famous picture in the Leelamrita, and a colonel said to him, he said, Swamiji, why are you wasting your time with these magazines? They're of no value. You should print books instead. So that's when the books came in Prabhupada's mind. Because he was thinking the magazines were a good way forward, but he took that advice from that gentleman because he thought, wow, that's Krishna speaking to me. That if the magazines, you know, people read them like the metro, you know, you see on all the news, on the trains, just lying there, people browse through it, and no one takes them home. Nobody takes the pamphlets home, the magazines home. But if it's a book, and especially if you've given a few pounds for that book, you'll take it home. You'll take it home. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses have all of these stalls of outside the train stations of their new books. And because they're free, you'll still find them on the tubes. Nobody takes them home. Because I never paid anything for them. Looks interesting, but I'm not going to take it home. So I think when people give something, even if it's a small amount, they think, better take that home. Put it in my bag. So Prabhupada, he started in that way, that he heard from this gentleman and he thought, yeah, okay, I've got to do something. The Upanishads, they speak about four powerful substances that give liberation. Anyone remember that verse or any of the items. That's the pure devotee. Okay, I'm thinking of another verse which is in the Upanishads. The dust and the remnants is from our Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is. Yes, yes. It says, it is four items give liberation, four material items, it says. Leaf, stone, water, and book. They give liberation. What, really? Okay, leaf. Talking about the tulsi leaf, of course. Simply by smelling the aroma of the tulsi leaf, the Kumaras became liberated. Gives liberation. Stone. Shalagram. The shalagram, simply by offering obeisances to the shalagram, one gets liberation. Water, as Govinda Prabhu said, the Ganga, one drop of the Ganga, and immediately you're liberated from millions of lives of sin. And finally, it says book. A book will give liberation. It's talking about the Vedas, of course. Talking about the Vedas. So four items that give liberation, which is given in the Upanishads. Madhvacharya, in his commentary, he speaks of something very similar. In his commentary on the Gita, he speaks on this similar verse of the book. And the famous verse of Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Jome Bhaktya Priyachati Tadham Bhakti Uparatam Ashnami Yat Ashnami Manaha. So he, in his commentary, he defines it differently. Where a leaf, a flower, a fruit, and some water, he defines it differently. And he says, Patram refers to books. Whereby he says, Patram is a leaf, and the Vedic literatures, they were all written on leaves. So when Krishna says, when you offer me patram, he's really referring to the book. He's really referring to the book, he says. As we know, all our literatures, they were written on palm leaves, different types of leaves, even from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. They were all on leaves. So Madhvacharya is saying that leaf is really book. Krishna is really looking for us for a book. And of course, at the end of the Gita, he's, as we had Nachatasman, he's asking us to give the book. Give the book out. Not just offer him the book, but offer the book to others. Offer the book to others. So that's an interesting meditation for us from that verse of the Gita. And then he says, Pushpam. And he says, he doesn't mean flowers. Because flowers, they denote values. In Sanskrit poetry, flowers also refer to poetry and values. So he says that what Krishna is saying about pushpam is talking about values, that you imbibe values. And a line I always use is, you know, life is not about acquiring value. Life is all about acquiring values, not valuables. So Krishna gives those values in this book. Take this. It's a good line to use. Life is not about acquiring valuables. It's about acquiring values. So this book is all about values. Take one. And phalam, Madhvacharya says, fruits of our works. He's not referring to the fruits, he says, but it refers to the fruits of your work. That you should give the fruits of your work. So give a donation. We're giving you some values. So give some fruits of your work. Equally. And then finally, toyam. Madhvacharya says, toyam doesn't refer to water, but it refers to the tears. That water, tears of our devotion, he says. Tears of our devotion. And if you read this book, you will have tears of devotion coming down you. So, another way of interpreting the verse, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. Madhvacharya doesn't say all of those things, by the way. I've just sort of ad-libbed them for our book distribution marathon. But he does say these are the references. Toyam is tears of our devotion. And you know, the famous verse, Prithiviti Achyata Nagaradigram, in every town and village, the holy name will be heard. And who thought when Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said this 200 years ago, that it was even true, if it was even possible. Whether this big temple will come up, myself and Govinda Prabhu, we were in Mayapur, and we were looking at this magnificent temple. If you go right to the top of the temple, you'll see the whole of Navadvip from there. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was seeing this temple, all, you know, and the fact that the holy name will be heard. So Bhaktisiddhanta, when he was approached and asked about this question, that will we spread to every town and village? And he gave a different interpretation to that. Prithiviti Achyata. He said, that is not our mission. Our mission is to spread Krishna consciousness to every heart. So, of course, how do we get there? Through a book. How do we get there? Every town and village, or is it every cell phone? That might be another way, because everyone is just looking at their cell phones all day. So, you know, we have many apps and things that we want to put together that people, whatever it takes, Bhaktisiddhanta would be very happy. He said, if you have to eat chapatis on Ekadashi, eat chapatis, but go and distribute books. So he was more happy with them eating chapatis on Ekadashi and doing something than not doing anything at all. So whatever we need to do, whether it's the phone, whether it's another innovative ways that we can distribute our books, I always think it's always nice to hear about the history of the marathon this time of the year. It's a first class, so I wasn't sure which day I'd get, so I had it in my thoughts. So on December the 22nd, 1972, what were you doing, all of you, December 22nd, 3 days before Christmas in 1972? Anyone? Okay, anyone else? Jayadev, do you remember what you were doing? Were you with Sachi? No. Wow, okay. I was at school, looking forward to the Christmas holidays, I think. But I do remember the devotees at that time, because they'd been on Top of the Pops in 1969, and I'd seen them at that time, so I was thinking because they were out in Wembley and other places giving out books at that time, so I'd met them at that time as well. Anyway, in Los Angeles, the devotees noticed that the shops were busy until 10 o'clock at night, and there was a huge spirit of people spending money and doing things, so the devotees automatically thought, why not give spiritual gifts? And they used to do magazine, Back to Godhead magazines at that time. And they unknowingly decided that why don't we all go and do more than we normally do. So at 10 p.m. Rameshwar Das felt confident that he'd distributed enough books to win the marathon. And he arrived back at the temple. And when he arrived back, he had done 650 magazines. Now normally he would do 40 in a day. So this was 600. He thought, wow, and he thought he'd won. And when he arrived, there was no one at the temple. And he thought, where's everyone gone? Have they gone to bed? He checked everything. There was no one in the whole building. And he realized that unknowingly, each one of them had gone out, not telling the others to stay out till late. And of course, he went out immediately again, knowing that the others had gone out. And unknowingly, this was the beginning of the first Christmas marathon. They did it spontaneously at that time in L.A. The marathon lasted 3 days. We don't have 3 days. We're a bit more longer than 3 days. 22nd to the 24th. The devotees distributed 6,000 books each day that time. And Prabhupada, in hearing of this, he sent a famous letter out. Everyone knows that letter. And when he heard about it, he said, by this effort alone, all the book distributors are assured to go back home, back to Godhead. And this letter, in its dramatic statement, it sent the Christmas marathon to a new high. That people realized, wow, this is what I need to do. This is what I need to do. And then in 73, the marathon continued on, and the Gita, as it is, it outsold any other edition of the Gita that year. And it was also the year that the Krishna book came out. You might remember that. With the foreword from George Harrison. So devotees were selling, like, in 2 hours, they were selling 600 Krishna books. At concerts and places. They said, this is a book by George Harrison. Of course, I'd say, you know, this is George Harrison's. So, and it was there. It was his foreword. He'd written it. Of course, Shamsunda reminded me he wrote it. And then and George said, yeah, I like that. I'll sign it. So by the end of 1973, of course, 4 million books had been sold. And Sankirtan heroes came around. Tripurari, Pragosh, Lavangalatika, Vaisheshika, these were all the heroes that came out at that time. These were all the names that people would hear of, and their amazing sales techniques that they had. And Vaisheshika had an amazing technique. When he came here, he was telling us about his technique. And he was famous at the airports. And his famous was the Shikshastikam verse, the first verse. And he would stop someone and said, my dear sir, he said, all glories to the Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. And people would be looking. And he said, the prime benediction for humanity at large, which cleanses the heart. And he would continue like this. And like this, he would sell 200 books in a day. At that time, two BBT parties were formed as well. Tripurari Maharaj, he was leading the book distributors, and the others were the BBT library parties, with a whole variety of devotees that were there looking after it. Bhaktitirtha Swami and others, you know, they were going to universities and selling sets of books. Prabhupada was very happy about that. Entire sets of books were going out. And Prabhupada would then write, he said, without books and magazine, what authority, on what basis have we got for our preaching? So that was a great line that was there as well, that sent devotees out. In due course, everyone realized, what is this Christmas marathon? And we changed the name to the Prabhupada marathon. So it's not the Christmas marathon. We wanted everyone to not remember Santa but Prabhupada, so the GBC renamed it the Prabhupada Marathon at that time. So that's what it's called, and that's a rough history. I mean, there's a lot more history there, what happened, how it happened, and we know we'll have lots of things to say and not say. Four benefits of book distribution. There are many, there are hundreds, but here's four. The first one is humility. You know, if you go out on book distribution, you are sure to be humbled. No one's going to stop. As Shivaram Swami said 2 years ago when he was out, he said, when I was out there, I realized, no one realized I was a guru, a sannyasi, a GBC. None of these things. I was another guy out on the street. And, you know, he said, it's good because it's humbling. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki. You know, one thought I've always had is that we cannot attack Krishna without humility. There's Krishna, and how do we attract him? We cannot attract him without humility, I believe. C.S. Lewis, he has a good definition of humility. Yes, everyone? Know that one? C.S. Lewis, he says, humility is not thinking less of ourselves, because we might think, you know, I'm no one, I'm nothing. So he puts it nicely. He says, humility is not thinking less of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves less. That means thinking of others more. And hence, the marathon is about that. Humility means, yeah, I'm thinking more of other people, so let me go and give a great treasure that I've found, and give it out to others. And often, you know, humiliation comes before humility. Often, isn't it? You'll stand for hours humiliated, And then humility will come when someone will take a book. You know, you realize it's Krishna. The second benefit is adventure. It's a great adventure to go out there. And you know, you don't know what will happen in the day. You don't know who you'll meet. And the stories that you'll have. And it's exciting, you know, it's exciting. You don't know what type of people will come up. Kavichandra Swami speaks about how when he was doing book distribution, he met a fellow and he explained to him, take this book, apply the knowledge. Life is very short. You could die at any moment. So, half an hour later, the police came to arrest Kavichandra Swami. He said, we understand you've been giving life threats to people. Because that person thought you could die any moment. He thought, he's threatening me, I could die any moment. So he reported it to the police that these people are giving life threats. Adventure. You don't know what will happen, isn't it? Life threats are there. And you know, the point is you could die at any moment. We were in Puri and in the Kshetra Parikram. And we decided, a group of us, to walk for along the beach for an hour and a half to do our japa. And as we walked, we thought, okay, let's keep walking, walking, walking. And you know, 2 hours goes easily. And then we came to Swargadwar. Anyone remember Swargadwar? It is the crematorium. And the crematorium in Puri. And the story is, of course, that Indra had once appeared in Puri and he stole some Mahaprasad from the stall and he ate it and he was walking away. So the hawker from the stall ran after him and said, pay me my money, what are you doing? What are you doing? Give me my money. And he walked to this spot. And the man then obviously wasn't an ordinary man who's stolen some Jagannath Prasad. It was Indra, the king of heavens. And he revealed he was the king of heavens. He said, you're asking me for a couple of paisas for that one piece of Jagannath Prasad, but it is invaluable. It's beyond any amount of wealth I have in the heavens. So I came to take it. But he said, give me something. And he gave a benediction. That I give you the benediction that whenever you want rainfall, it will come. And that year in Puri there was a drought. There was no rain for the whole season. But it would only rain wherever you are. So he went inside the Puri temple and he said, let me try it out. He said, rain, you know. And then, of course, it was raining. And there was floods coming out of the Puri temple. Nowhere else was it raining. And the huge canals of water were watering all the different areas of Puri, coming out of the Puri temple. But the spot where Indra then decided to leave to the heavens, it was a staircase to heaven, of course. Song comes to mind, he goes speak. Anyway, he went to heavens from there. And it said that that spot has a benediction that whoever is cremated there, they will go to the heavens immediately. They don't have to die in Puri. So anyone who dies in the region of Bhuvaneshwar, they'll drive all the way to here. So we were sitting there, four of us, Rameshwar, Rasik, Jayesh, everybody knows Jayesh, our mechanic. We were all sitting there and we were watching the bodies burn. We thought, okay. They said, can we go and see? I said, we haven't seen this before. I said, okay, anyway, I see every week and the manor can, but I haven't seen open pyres. I said, let's go and have a look. So we were watching all of these bodies burn. And it operates 24 hours a day. That crematorium, because there were people waiting in ambulances and cars to be cremated, and there was four or five bodies burning, and there was one man who was waiting there, a beggar. And we said, "What's happening to him? Is he going to be burnt very soon?" And they said, "No. He just sleeps here every night, and he will be gone soon." So he was just sleeping there. I thought, "My God, by mistake, hopefully they don't put him on the pyre or something." He said, no, he just sleeps here in front of all the bodies. And so anyway, we got some realization. My God, you know, nothing is left. So, you know, we'd all come out in our gumshas walking down, and then everyone felt exhausted. 3 hours had gone. The sun was up. It was 10 o'clock. And we all said, oh, we better catch a rickshaw back, you know. And everyone looked in their pockets, which were the gumshoes. And we didn't have a rupee between us. And it dawned upon all of us at the crematorium that when we leave this world, we will not have a rupee between us. And Rameshwai said, you're a millionaire. And Rasik, you're a billionaire. And Jayesh, no one knows how much money you have. And I said, I'm the pauper, or the priest between all of you. But between us, we don't have one rupee. And they all said, wow, that is a realization. That is, that we will not have anything at the end of this life. So anyway, we walked back. We walked back, realizing we didn't have a rupee between all of us. So that was interesting realization at that time. So humility, as we said. Third one, realization. Third thing that happens when you distribute books are realizations. You know, we have philosophy, you have the theory, and then you have the practice. The jnanam vijnanam sahitam yajgyatva moksha shubh ashubhayat. Krishna says there's knowledge and there's realization. So when we actually go out and give Krishna to others, there's realizations. Whether it's, you know, on the street, whether it's door to door, whether it's in a home, whether it's Gita Jayanti, whatever it is, whether it's here at the temple, we speak to someone about Krishna, there's realization. And the final one, the fourth one, is dependence on Krishna. That when you go out, you realize it doesn't matter what skill you set you have, it doesn't always work. Some days nobody wants a book. Total dependence on Krishna. So you realize. So Prabhupada, when he was invited to go to Hawaii, and they said, Prabhupada, you come to Hawaii because the mango season is on. And the sweetest mangoes are in Hawaii, and Prabhupada knew of this, and Prabhupada loved mangoes. And he had another offer to go to Moscow at the same time. And Prabhupada went to Moscow, and he said, preaching in the snows of Russia is sweeter than any mangoes. So Prabhupada said something interesting. Here's a couple of stories before we end, and we'll ask Nikhil to give us something on the marathon. In Australia, we already speak of the book distribution, and they try to go door to door rather than the streets. It's more practical, more people are there. So this devotee was giving his realization how he was going door to door, wearing his dhoti and kurta, and he saw a man with a can of beer on the front of the porch, and he went up to him and he said, and he thought, oh, he's not going to take a book, he's half got the drunk, and he said, so he said, this is an SSR, it's about self-realization, would you like one of these books, it will give you peace. And the man who was sitting there, and he thought, I'll never take a book. And then that man broke down and he told his story of life. He said, for 10 years I was in Afghanistan, sniper. And he said, for 10 years I was sniping away, you know. And he said, I did some bad things. There were some very young children that died, and that was all part of the whole thing. And he said, after 10 years, finally I took a Christmas break. So this was during the marathon. He said, I came home for Christmas, and before I got here, my father, my brother, my sister were in a car, and there was a head-on collision, and wife, and they all died. He said, and I don't know what to make of life. And he said, I became a vegetarian, and I'm growing my own vegetables in my backyard, but I'm depressed, he said. Hopefully this book will help me alleviate my suffering. So you don't know who you meet. So he thought, let me carry on this door-to-door business. It seems to be working. So he knocked on the door, Australian housewife opened the door, and she said, not interested. Slammed the door, and as he's walking away, a young boy opens the door and said, What you got? And he showed him the book coming back. He said, I want that book. And the mother and the father came out, and they thought, wow, my the boy wants the book, we'll have to get him the book. He said, all right, we'll have the book. And he said, this book is all about reincarnation and how the fact that you had a previous life. And the young boy said, you know what? I knew I had a previous life. And he showed him the picture. And the mother said, yeah, you know, this boy is very spiritually minded. And he said, yeah, it's from a previous life. And the parents said, you know what? We think he must have had a previous life because he's so spiritual and we can't understand it because we're only interested in beer and booze and he's not interested in these things. So then they said he's even wanting to become a vegetarian. There you go. You got hint, hint. Of course, the books distributor's got his senses on. He said, well, that's the higher taste, madam. And she said, well, how much is that? Well, okay, she goes and gets some more money. And they're very happy with that. And he walks away with that and gives them the address, come and see us for a Sunday program, Sunday feast. And so you never know who you'll meet on the door-to-door, on the street, in the Czech Republic, when a devotee was speaking about the fact that he had a set of 17 books in Czech that were translated and he was trying to give these out. I think it was during the communist regime and they were afraid of the secret police, and an old man came up to him and said, what are you doing? He said, nothing, don't bother me. He said, no, tell me what you're doing. And he thought, this old man, what's he going to have? Because the total cost of the books, I think the currency was crowns. It was 160 crowns for like a month's wage. And the old man said, no, I want to know what you're doing. He said, well, I'm a monk. I'm giving out these books. It's an encyclopedia on India and spirituality. And the old man looked at him and said, how much does it cost? He said, 160 crowns. And he thought, that will be it. You know, this man, that's like a life-saving for him. And he said, I'll take one set. Here's 100 crowns and I'll bring the 60 later on. He brought the 60 later on. He sat in the van. He looked at all the books. And he said, you know, I always thought that there was something more to my life. And I must have had a previous life. And he took the full set of those books. 16 books. So you never know who's going to come your way. Who's going to say what. And there's hundreds of stories, but Nikhil Prabhu, tell us what's happening in the marathon. Yeah, please, take the mic, yeah. I thought we had a radio mic.
Hare Krishna. So we have a very exciting time coming up. I was just meditating on when Shruti Rampu was speaking. The theme for the manor this year was Atithi Deva Bhava, right? Treating and being hospitable to all our guests. Srila Prabhupada once said that in Kali Yuga, no one will come to the temples. So therefore, we have to bring the temple to the people. So I think it's a really nice way to finish the year off and be very hospitable to the people out there. And what better thing to give them than the essence of our movement, which is Srila Prabhupada's books. And I was also thinking, one interesting thing is, the whole project of the Atithi Deva Bhava came out because we saw there was a need to take care of our guests properly. And I was observing some things, and I was feeling that sometimes devotees feel not so confident in approaching new guests, how to deal with them, how to really be hospitable to them in this environment, which is actually very alien to many people. And I was actually meditating that book distribution, this act of going out and sharing books with random strangers, is probably the best way to actually develop those skills and abilities to actually do that and be really hospitable to people as well. So this year we've got a very exciting marathon. We've had some really successful marathons recently, engaging all the congregation, and I really still feel we're just scratching the surface. So we've set a target for a minimum of 100,000 books because we're way past that these days. That's like history for us. We should be going for like 1 million, but anyway, I won't get too excited. So this year the theme is Against All Odds. Srila Prabhupada went through a lot of austerities, a lot of challenges in his early days. Srila Dharmapur mentioned when Srila Prabhupada was distributing his magazines, it wasn't so successful, you know? And he was in India, which you think is probably a bit conducive, but it was a failure externally. And therefore he went to America, never been outside of India before, didn't know whether to turn left or right. And 10 years later, after his efforts, against all odds, an international society was built. It's a very nice meditation, so I thought we can have that meditation this year and really go deeper and really experience the magic of the marathon time, because it's a very special time, a transformative time. There's many different ways, and posters will be going up today and tomorrow outside. We have obviously the street distribution, we have door-to-door distribution, we have a team working on placing all of the sponsored books we have in schools, hospitals, colleges, universities. Like in Prabhupada's time, there was library parties, we have a team formed about that. On the 16th of December, we've had 2 monthly Sankirtan festivals. I think quite a few people came to that. So on the 16th of December, we have another monthly Sankirtan festival, which will probably be our biggest festival this year. So you're more than welcome to come to that. That'll be more information will be that coming out soon. And if you have any ideas, and please feel enthusiastic to even go out 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, all of the 28 days, you're more than welcome. And it's an exciting time for us to do something together. Throughout the year, we're doing different things in all our different departments, but it's a nice time to come together and make a special effort to please Srila Prabhupada and make him smile against all the odds that are against us. So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hari Bol. And you know, our prayers for Nikhil Prabhu here. He's overseeing that and trying to make the manor very successful. Equally, Sutta Prabhu is spreading his wings with the congregation all the way in South Norwood, all the way in Leicester, all the way in Birmingham, all the way in Manchester. And how many books you want to get out there? Each one of those centers with the congregation will do 5,000 books. In previous years, they've done none. So it's a real initiative here from the manor. We're spreading out from here to all parts of the country to help in the book distribution. We'll end with Tamal Krishna Maharaj in 1991 in Zurich before the marathon. He says the following, and this is a meditation for the marathon. He says as follows, we should pray in a humble mood. We begin by praying to our spiritual master and then to his spiritual master and all the gurus in disciplic succession. We should begin our Sankirtan Yajna each day this month with fervent prayers at his lotus feet. And then we will pray to Nityananda Prabhu and to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and ultimately to Radha and Krishna. And we should pray as follows. All of you, please use me. I am a puppet. Make me dance in your hands so that you become satisfied by this wonderful day of Sankirtan. That is our prayer, and the Sankirtan will be pleasing to Guru and Gauranga and all the Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.